Begin the current daf, Masech the site of daf Yud Daled. Begin on the bottom of the Yud Gimel Mabez, two lines up on the bottom of the Yamed. But the Gemara continues the discussion for the previous daf, and that is we had mentioned the concept in the Mishnah of Mida Keneged Mida, and it was talking about how the merit of each one bearing the other was that he also got buried in that way, and that is that Yosef buried his father, and he was a great person, so he got buried by Moshe Rabbeinu, who was a great person. And Moshe Rabbeinu, because he buried Yosef, who he was a great person, the greatest person that lived, so therefore he merited to Mida Keneged Mida on some level to get buried by Hashem Yisbarach. So the Gemara continues regarding the context of Moshe's burial. So it says a pasuk in Devarim, "Vayikber Oisoi Bagai," that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried there in the valley, Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Mul Beis Par, opposite the place of Par. Now Amar Barachi makes an analysis of this pasuk. He says, Simon b'teich simon. What you have over here is a sign upon sign. I mean, there's so many indicators of where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Be'eretz Moav, in the land of Moav, Begates, in the valley, it's opposite Beis Par. Fafalachin, still the pasuk says over there, V'loyada ishes kvarasa, that no man knows where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried. Now, actually, the Gemara even says, Kfar Shalcha Malchus Rasha, that the wicked kingdom, always a reference to the Romans, they already sent Eitzel, as we continue on top of Yedal Manav, Gastra, they sent to the ruler, Shal Beis Par, of the place of Par, Hareinu Heichen Moshe Kaber, show us where Moshe, a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu, is buried. So Amdu Lamala, when they stood on top, Nidmam Lamata, it seemed like that the burial was below. Lamata, when they stood below, Nidmam Lamala, it seemed to them as if it was on top. So what they do? So they said, okay, Nechwa Kulish Teikid, they split into two different groups. Then we'll be able to figure out where it really is. But the ones that stood on the top, it still seemed to them like it was on the bottom. And lamata nidmem lamala, those who were on the bottom, it seemed to them as if it was on the top. This is to fulfill what the pasuk says, lo yada ishes kavarasa, that no man shall know where Moshe Rabbeinu is buried, although it gives clear and many indicators of where he is. Reb Chama ben Reb Chanina Amri says, av Moshe Rabbeinu in yidei hichen kaver, even Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't know where he's buried. Where Ksivach, here the pasuk says the word v'loyode ish es kvarasa, that the man shall not know where he's buried. Now Ksiv Hasan is a different pasuk that says v'zeis abracha sheberach Moshe ish elikim, and that this is the blessing that Moshe Rabbeinu, the man of God, blessed. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu is called ish, and here it says v'loyode ish es kvarasa, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu himself doesn't even know where he's buried. Now another statement from V'amar Reb Chama Reb Chanina says, why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu was buried near this place, Beis Par? So he says, so that it's to provide an atonement for the Maisa, for the incident that happened by Par, where the Jewish men were Mezana with the Bnei Yismoyev. Now, actually, Tosfos brings from a Medrash Agada that every single year that on the anniversary of when the Jewish people sinned with the daughters of Moyev, at that time, the place of Beis Par goes up to heaven to prosecute and to recall the sins of the Jewish people. Now, when he sees the grave of Moshe right opposite him, he goes and he buries himself back down to the place where Moshe Rabbeinu had buried that place up until its nose. And every time it tries going up, it goes right back to where Moshe Rabbeinu had submerged in. And again, that's why Moshe Rabbeinu is buried there, to maintain the Beis Par from not prosecuting the Jewish people from that sin over there. Now, Amar Reb Chama Baruch Hanina, another statement from him. Now, actually, the Bach has a girsa here that adds on another concept. And his words are, Memneima nistata kivr shel Moshe. Why is it that the grave of Moshe Rabbeinu was concealed me'ein abas of Adam from people's eyes? So the answer is, M'nei shegolub yudulaf ne'akadosh Baruch Hu, it was known and revealed in front of Hashem. She'asa Beis HaMikdash licharv, the Beis HaMikdash is going to one day be destroyed. Uligolus is Yisrael Ma'aretz, and the Jewish people are going to go into exile from their land. Shem Yuvoi ulikvarasa shel Moshe ba'isasha. Maybe at that time they're going to go to the grave of Moshe. V'yamdu bebchia, and they're going to stand there and they're going to cry. V'yischanu leMoshe, and they're going to daven to Moshe and plead to him. V'yemru lo, and they're going to tell him, Moshe beinu amid b'tfilu ba'adenu, stand in prayer in front of Hashem for us. V'ayimin Moshe umavatlas exera. Moshe beinu is going to go up there and he's going to nullify the decree. Now, and obviously Hashem, when he did the Churban Beis HaMikdash, was for a purpose. But if a righteous person is going to daven, he's going to repeal that decree. And because Nishchavivim tzaddikim b'misasim yisim b'chayim, because the righteous are more endeared by Hashem than when they're alive. Shekenat ha'mitzvah, because this is what you find. B'shosho yisol b'midbar b'sorchu b'maseim v'aso egel. When the Jewish people were in the desert and they sinned and they made the golden calf, katzvar kadosh baruch hu yisol. Kadosh baruch hu got upset on the Jewish people. V'amar la'Moshe, and he said to Moshe, harif m'minim hashemidim, leave me and I will destroy them. Now, kama tzaddikim hoyu b'isadar? How many righteous people were there in that generation? V'kama chasidim, how many pious people? Moshe, v'aron, v'yeshua, elder, v'meidod, v'ayin zekeinim, and the 70 elders, v'shachacham v'tamidim, and all the other scholars and their students. V'loy osa b'shvilam, and however, it wasn't in their merit. V'loy bitl ha'gezer, and they didn't nullify the gezer, ela b'shvil Moshe, only because of Moshe. So we see the great merit that Moshe Rabbeinu would have, he would daven, and that would repeal the gezer. Now actually, there is a girsa, even in this girsa of the Bach, that actually, it wasn't actually because of Moshe Rabbeinu. It was rather because of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Shnem, like it says in the Pasuk, Zecher l'Avram, l'Yitzchak, u'l'Yisrael l'Avedecha, and that strengthens the idea of the Gedolim Tzaddikim, mibim misasin, yesim mibichayeh, and they're greater when they're in their tefillah, when they're dead, than when they're alive. And therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, now that he's dead, then he's going to daven, and he's going to repeal the Gezerah of the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and Hashem didn't want that, and that's why his burial was concealed. Now, then the Gemara continues with Va'amar Rabbi Chama bar Chanina. Another statement from Chama bar Chanina is Ma'ay Dechsev. What does it mean in the pasuk in the Varm that says Acharei Hashem Alekeichem Te'aleichem, that after Hashem your God you should follow? Now the question is, V'chi Efshalei La'adam L'Halach Achar Shechina? Is it possible for someone to follow after the divine presence? But the pasuk in the Varm already gives an image of Ki Hashem Alekeicha Eish Aichlehu, where Kibiyachol it's like Hashem your God is a consuming fire. You can't go after that, you'll get consumed. Ella, what does it mean? Lahalach acha midosim shal Kadosh Baruch Hu. It means to go after the attributes, the characteristics of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, where has how he manifests in this world, which is mahu malbish arumim, just like he clothes the naked. Next up, like it says the pasuk in Bereishis, v'yasa Hashem alikim lo adam ulishtoi kosnus or v'albishem Hashem, after the chet of the Eitz Hadas, he made for Adam and his wife Chava clothing of skin. And he clothed them, which they were naked then, and then they needed clothing. So afat ha'al b'sharum, you should follow Hashem's midos and also clothe people that don't have clothing. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'gechayim. So for example, HaKadosh Baruch Hu visited the sick. The chesed, like it says the pasuk in Sefer Bereishis, says b'yar alav Hashem be'ilun mamri, that Hashem visited and made himself be seen to Avram in the plain of Mamre. So afat b'gechayim. So too, you should also visit the sick. HaKadosh Baruch Hu nicham aveilim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu comforts the mourners. He consoles them. The like it says the pasuk b'yiachar yimoyis Avram, that it was after Avram had passed away. V'yavarach l'kim es Yitzchak benoy. So then God blessed his son Yitzchak, which was the nicham aveilim of his father, comforting him, meaning he gave him the birchas aveilim. So therefore, afata nicham aveilim. You should also console the mourners. HaKadosh Baruch Hu kovem meisim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu buries the dead. Achsev, like it says in Pasuk, and that's the context that we're discussing over here, v'yikper oisa b'gai, that he buried Moshe Rabbeinu in the valley. Af ata kovem meisim, you should also bury the dead. Now, parenthetically, what we had introduced, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is goymel chesed, and that is, he's mal b'sharumim, so he said that he gave od mechava kosnois oir, clothing of the skin. So Rav Shmuel, two different interpretations, what does that mean? One says that what he gave Ad Mechaba was something that comes from the skin, meaning wool, which grows from the skin of the sheep. One says, means to say, something that the skin has pleasure from, that's what he gave Ad Mechaba, and that's a reference to linen, which a person wears close to his skin, and therefore it's either wool or linen that he made for clothing for Adam and Chava. Now continuing on this theme, the Gemara says, Darash Reb Simloi, says the Torah, Tchilasu Gimelis Chasadim, it begins with the concept of Hashem doing acts of kindness. Vesevi Gimelis Chasadim, and it ends with Hashem doing acts of kindness. As the Gemara explains, Tchilasu Gimelis Chasadim, it starts off with acts of kindness, Tchsev, like it says in the Pasuk, Vayasa Hashem Alikim Lo Adam Alishta Kasnasar Vayabishim, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made for Adam and Chava clothing of the skin, and he clothed them, which is being Malbash Arumim, which is Gimelis Chasadim, giving clothes to those who don't have. And Besefik Gemilas Chasad in the end is also with acts of kindness. Tachsev, like it says in the pasuk, Be'ikbar Eisa Bagai, that he was burying, he was being Eisa in the mitzvah of burying the dead, meaning Moshe Rabbeinu. Related, another drasha from Darsh Reb Simloi says, Mipnei manis ava Moshe Rabbeinu l'kanis l'eretz Yisrael. What was this great desire? We know that Moshe Rabbeinu davened so many times to enter into the land of Eretz Yisrael. Now, b'chilechel mipirya hutzarach, did he need to eat from its fruits? Or to be satiated from its goodness, as we say in the bracha of Al HaMichya, is that what he wanted, just to eat the fruits or to be satiated from its goodness? Ela kachama Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, this is what Moshe Rabbeinu said. Harba mitzvahs nitzdavu Yisrael, there were many commandments that the Jewish people were commanded in. Vein miskaimen ela be'eretz Yisrael. And they could only be fulfilled in Eretz Yisrael. Ekanis ani lo aretz kadei sheyiskaimu kol nayodi. Let me just enter so that I can fulfill all those mitzvahs through myself. So Amalek HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Klumat mevakesh el kab sachar. What are you requesting? What do you want? To get the reward for doing those mitzvahs. Mala ne'alecha kilo asisim. I will consider it upon you as if you had fulfilled those mitzvahs. Shnei Malkei says, the pasuk in Yeshaya, L'chein achalik li b'rab, and therefore I will apportion it for him with the many, v'esatzumi michalik shol, and with the mighty, he will split the spoils. Tachas ha'shehera lamo v'snavshari, because he had poured out his soul to be willing to be killed, and v'espoishim nimna, and he's counted with the sinners. V'hu and him, chait rab nasa, carried the sin of the many, of the public, and v'lapoishim yefgiya, and that he, because of the sinners, he prays for them. So the Gemara explains what this pasuk means and how it refers to Moshe Rabbeinu. It says in the pasuk, "L'chein achalik liberam." Therefore, I will apportion it for him with the many. So, on that is what he's saying is that I will give him a complete reward for what he has done, and that's the concept of as if he went to Eretz Yisrael. Now, yochel ka'achroinim b'lik rishonim. You would think it's like the later righteous people, but not like the earlier ones. That's what the pasuk continues and says, V'asatsumi michalik shal, no, that with the mighty he will split the spoils, which is a reference to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, like the others, sheinatsumim b'Torah v'mitzvah, that they were mighty in the fulfillment of Torah and mitzvahs. And as the pasuk continues, tachas ha'shehera lamo v'snavshe, because he poured out his soul to be killed, which is shemosar atzlamisa, he gave over his life to be killed, like it says the pasuk in Shemais, and he said, when he was sticking up for the Jewish people, not they shouldn't be killed out, like Hashem had said, that if you don't listen, then erase me from your book. So he was willing to put his life on the line. When it says that with the sinners he was counted, meaning he's counted among those who died in the generation of the desert, even though he was clean from that sin. And him actually, he actually carried the sin of the many, which is Shechipra Maisegel. He actually went to Davin by Hashem for 40 days and he created the atonement for the sin of the golden calf. Ulapoishim Yafgiya, and that for the sinners he would Davin, which is Shabikash Rachmam Apoishi Yisrael Shiachzu B'tshuba, that he requested mercy regarding the sins of the Jewish people, that they should go ahead and repent and do tshuva. Where, because as we find, Ve'in Pegiya Elatfila, this that it says of Lapoishim Yafgiya, that's a reference to prayer, Shanem, like it says the pasuk in Yirmiya, which says, Va'ata new Yirmiya al tespal ba'ara mazet. Don't pray for this nation. Va'altisa badam rina tefila, and don't carry on for them the song and prayer. Va'al tifka bi, which again, obviously, from the context, we can see it means to say, and don't daven to me, and don't pray. So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, V'la'pesham yafgi, it means to say that he prayed for the sinners to do tshuva. So Hadun Allah Mekan L'Ishtai, we shall return to the first Perek Masechet Saita, Perek Mekan L'Ishtai, and with that we begin the second Perek Masechet Saita, Perek HaYemevi, which discusses the Minchas Saita, the flower offering that's brought in this procedure of the suspected adulterous woman. So the Mishnah begins, HaYemevi, the husband would bring Es Minchasa, the flower offering of his suspected adulterous wife, as the Pasuk says in Mamid B'Perekei, V'Hevi Es Karbano Aleha, that he would bring her carbon for her, and he would bring this flower offering, betuch kfifa mitzvahs, in this basket made out of mitzvahs, meaning out of netzri, which is this like palm bast, which is, it grows around the bottom of a palm tree, so they would take that and weave that and make that into a basket. Now, v'noisna al yedeha kedeliyaga, so they would put this basket on her hands to wear her out, and the Gemara explained the reason why they would put this basket that was holding a flower offering on her hand so that she should hold it and get worn out. Now, the Mishnah makes a contrast between all of the menachas and the differences how it applies to Mincha Seita. Kala menachas, all flour offerings that are brought in the Beis HaMikdash, chilasin v'seifin b'chli sharis. They start off and they end off in Kli Sharis, which are vessels that are used, that are sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, originally the Gemara will assume that what that means to say is that when it's brought from the house of the person that's bringing the Mincha, it has to be brought in the Kli Sharis into the Azar, into the courtyard. Whereas Vizu, however, this Mincha Saita, Tchilasa B'Kfifa Mitzvahs, it starts off, as we said, regarding this basket of this palm bast. Whereas V'Seifa B'Kli Sharis, and it's only at the end, where, meaning before the Kemitz is done, before one takes the fistful of the flower offering that's sacrificed on Mizbeach, that right before then, that's when it's B'Kli Sharis in a utensil that's sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash. Moreover, another difference is, Kala Menach is Tu'unei Shemen U'Levayna. All flour offerings need oil and frankincense, whereas the Pasuk says in Vayikra Beis, V'yitzik alav shemen, you pour on that oil, benosn alav levayna, you put on that frankincense. And the Gemara actually later on is going to ask that seemingly there is a mincha, besides mincha seita, that doesn't have the shemen alav levayna, and that's a mincha seita, the mincha of a sinner. So all other flour offerings need oil and frankincense. V'zu inu tu'unei lo shemen v'lo levayna. But the Mincha Seita doesn't have oil or frankincense, where, as the Pasuk says in Bamidbar Parakei, lo yitzik ol Hashem, that you shouldn't pour on that oil and frankincense. A third difference is, kol ha-menachis bois menachitin. All flour offerings are brought from wheat, as the Pasuk says in Shmos Chavtes, soy leschitim ta'asa oisim, it should be made out of fine wheat flour. However, the flour offering of the Seita comes from barley. Now, the Mishnah, however, points out, Mincha Se'omer, the Omer flour offering, which is brought on the second day of Pesach, which then permits all the new grain to be consumed, and it's not a problem of Chodesh. So that offering, Afa Pisha Bo Min Se'omer, even though that comes from barley, whereas the Gemara Masechtas Menachas of Chesamachas Mebeis learns it out from Sukkim, but he also bought geres. At least that was brought from geres, which is choice barley, which is sifted 13 times, which is the equivalent of what soilus is by chitim, which is the fine flour. Whereas the pasuk says in Vayikra Beis, geres karmel takaves minchas becharecha, which the Gemara Masechtas Menachos learns, is in reference to the minchas ha'omer. Whereas vizu bo kamach. So although they're both barley, but there's still a difference that at least there, the Minchas Ha'omer is brought from the fine barley flour, and here it's brought from Kemach, which is everything mixed together, how it's grinded. It's not sifted 13 times as it is by the Omer. Now, Rabbi Gamliel, I mean, he says, in comment to this, that the Minchas Ha'omer is brought from barley, he says, Kishim Shemaiseho, Maise Behema, just like this woman acted like how an animal acts, so Kach Karbon HaMaich Behema, so too, her carbon is going to be the animal food, which is barley, and not the higher human food of wheat. Now, Tanya, learn the Braisa. Abachanan oime meshurme b'liyazi. It says, v'kolka achlama. In other words, why do we go through the great effort of wearing her out by having her hold this basket of the mincha? So on that, the Gemara says, k'dili yaga, so that we should wear her out, k'dei shetachzba, so that she should retract, she should capitulate and say, you know what, I did it, and admit. So the Gemara makes a comment. If the Torah is so concerned about a people that violate Hashem's will, meaning if she was Mizana and she violated Hashem's will, so and Hashem wants that the woman should admit and that she shouldn't have to go through this terrible procedure of the Meisaita, of the Seita orders, so all the more so can one imagine for someone that does Hashem's will, how much Hashem and the Torah is concerned about such a person. Now, the Gemara asks, from where do you know that the reason why we try to wear her out so that she should admit is because the Torah is concerned for her and doesn't want her to go through this demoralizing and this embarrassing and fatal event? Maybe the reason is for a different concern, because we don't want, in the procedure, if she's not going to capitulate, we're going to have to erase Hashem's name in the water. Maybe it's to prevent that from happening. But not because we're concerned for her. We're concerned for Hashem's name. So I think my answer is no, because Ksavar, this Tana, meaning Rebbe Eliezer, that says the reason why we try to wear her out is because we're concerned for her, is as we continue on Talmud Beis, he holds that Mashka, actually first a woman drinks va'achakach makaris minchas. And only then later do we go through the whole carbon mincha, her flour offering. Now, this is a machlik, is actually later on daf yotesimut alf. Now, therefore, however, as long as the carbon mincha wasn't brought yet, the water doesn't start its bedikia. It doesn't do what it's supposed to do in the person, which, as it says in the pasuk, that it's maskeris oven. So, although she drank, we still so the water has already been, obviously Hashem's name has already been dissolved. She already drank the water, but we still make her hold the basket because we wanted to wear out so that she should admit. Now, obviously, that means to say, according to this Mandal Amar, it's because we're concerned for her. Because as the Gemara says, the Imishu Megillah, because if it's the scroll that has Hashem's name on it, it's already been erased. She already drank before she's even holding the whole basket of the flower offering. So obviously, that's why he said, it's obviously because we're concerned, just that she should admit so that the water doesn't work. So, Allah is Kama B'Kama, all the more so for sure, for Eisim Ritzayna, those that do Hashem's will, how much Hashem is concerned for such people. Now the Mishnah said, Kala Menachas V'chulu, is set a contrast, that all flower offerings, unlike the Mincha Seita that starts off in the Kfeifa Mitzvahs, here it starts and ends with the Kli Sharis. Now, the Gemara will ask a contradiction on that halacha from the following Brisa, which goes through, and now Gemara will explain in detail the Seder, the order of how flower offerings are generally brought. As the Brisa says, Seder Menachas Ketzad, what is the order of flower offerings? So the Brisa explains, first of all, Adam Mevi Mincha Metech Beis, a person brings a flower offering from his house, Beklosis, which are some type of baskets where a person brings his flower offering to the Azar, to the courtyard from his house in baskets, Shal Kesev, Shal Zav, that are made out of either of silver or of gold, V'noisna L'Tech Kli Sharis, and when he comes into the Azar, to the courtyard, he then puts the flower offering into a Kli Sharis, into a sanctified service utensil, U'mekachab L'Kli Sharis, and moreover, he sanctifies it in the Kli Sharis, which originally the Gemara assumes what that means to say is that the person has to put it into the Kli Sharis with the intention that the vessel should be Mekadosh, it should sanctify this flower offering that he's bringing. And then V'noishna L'Hashamna, U'L'Reynasa, then he puts onto the flower the oil and the frankincense, U'Malicha Etzel Kayin, and then he brings it to the Kayin. Then the Kohen brings it to the Mizbeach. Umagisha, and he brings the Kli, the vessel that's holding the flower offering, the Karen Duremis Maravis, into the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, which is Kineged Chudishal Karen, which is by the corner of the Mizbeach, which the Gemara later on is going to learn from Sukkim. Vidayah, and that's enough. The Gemara later on is going to explain what does that mean, it's enough. What would you have thought that should be more than that to say that this is enough? And then the Mesalik Es HaLavon L'Tzad Echad, after they do that, which is called Hagasha, then they move the Levina to one side, meaning in the vessel itself with the flower offering, they move the frankincense to one side. And again, later on, the Gemara is going to explain all the different details of this Brisa. And then V'Kaimitz Mimokim Shenisra B'Shamna, then the Kohen takes a fistful of the flower offering from the area where there's a lot of oil over there, meaning where the oil is very much mixed into the flour over there. And then he takes that kaimitz, that fistful of the flour, and puts it into a service utensil that was sanctified in the Beis HaMikdash. And then he sanctifies it in that klisharis. Again, this is a second klisharis, and the Gemara will later on explain why we're putting it into another klisharis. Umelakaris is Labrinasa, and then they gather the frankincense that's on top of the flower offering, V'noisna Agabab, and they put it on top of this other Klisharis, where the Kaimitz is, where the fistful is. Umalehu, Umaktir B'Klisharis, and they bring it up, and they burn it in with the Klisharis, with the service utensils on the Mizbeach. Umolchai, V'noisna Agabe Isham, and they salt the flower offering, and they put it on top of the fires that are on the Mizbeach. Now, the Brisa says, Karva Kaimitz, once the fistful of this flower offering was sacrificed, then Shireo Nechal, and then the leftovers could be eaten. Now, Rishoim Kahanim Litin Latecha, the Kahanim are permitted to put inside the Shireim, the leftovers, which is what they eat, of the flower offering, they could put in Yain, Veshem, and Dvash, wine, oil, and honey. And the Ein Asur Ne'el Melcham, it's the only problem they have that's prohibited for them with the leftovers, meaning of what they eat, it's called leftovers of that kaimitz, is to make it into chametz, to let it turn leaven. That's what the Brisa says is the order of the Menachas. Now, Ketanim Iyo, one thing the Gemara that we learned in this price that we're asking from, is that it says that the person that brings the mincha from their house brings it beklasa shel kesev, beklasa shel zav, baskets of silver and baskets of gold, and not in klisharis. You said in the Mishnah that other menachas are brought beklisharis tchilas and besaifa, and then yet here seemingly it's not starting off in tchila. We said that menachas are brought with the person's own baskets. Tanadam Rapap, he says, Emo, what it means to say is bekelim haru'in leklisharis. What our Mishnah means to say has to be vessels that are fit to be klisharis if the person was makdish and made it sanctified to be used in the service of the Beis HaMikdash. But you're right, it's not actually klisharis like our Mishnah says. Rather, the person brings his own baskets of kesef b'zav, but it's valid to have been used for that. Now, that the Gemara says, Machlal, what's inferred is the Chfifa Mitzvah said, obviously what we're saying in the contrast in our Mishnah, with regards to the Micha Saita, that that's used with this type of palm bass type of basket, which we're saying that that doesn't work for the other menachas, only works for Saita, because it has to be, quote, klisharis, which we're saying it's not really klisharis, it has to be something that's roi for klisharis, that obviously that we're saying Chfifa Mitzvah loichas is not fit, so come on. So who's our Mishnah like that says that obviously, you don't have to start off with klisharis, but it has to be roll for klisharis, and that kfifa mitzvah is not. So who's that Mishnah like? So the Gemara says, delay Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. Obviously, it's not like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda, because the Tanya learned in the Braisa that there's a machlokes klisharis shasoin shal eitz regarding a service utensil in the Beis HaMikdash that was made out of wood. So Rabbi Paisel, he says it's possible. Now the Gemara Masechta the Sukkah learns it out the reason over there in Perek Chalul Daf Nun Mabeis. But Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda Machshi says it's kasher. You can use wood. So you see, seemingly it doesn't have to be gold, silver, metal, it could be all these other types of things. And so our mission that says that you can't use kvifa mitzvahs, which is the same type of vegetation, obviously is going not like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, I feel a tamer Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda. You could say the Tana of a Mishnah who says that it's invalid for other menachas to be used for a basket of kvifa mitzvahs, because it has to be something that's royal klisharis, is even like Rabbi Yisrael Yehuda who says that wood is good. Because Eimer de Amar Bisi Rabbi Yehuda bechashuvin by something that Yitzhak grows from the ground, but it's something that is it's distinct. It's something that's chashuv, which is what's the case by a wooden vessel. But bechusin miyama, but something that's a low grade type of vessel. Did he say that? But lesle Rabbi Yehuda hakrivei no lafachasecha. Doesn't he hold of what the pasuk says in Malachi that are you going to bring this to your governor? Whereas the pasuk there says that. Is Hayirzucha Yisuf Anecha, is he going to take this from you? So obviously you can't bring something that's degrading in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So therefore that could even be like Rabbi Yehuda who, yeah, although generally holds like wood you could use, but something like palm bass is not something that's significant in Chashav enough, and therefore he would agree, like our Mishnah, that for other menachas such a kli would be invalid. Now the Gemara discussed, so therefore we answer that question regarding the contradiction of our Mishnah. Now the Gemara explains that in detail all the different components of this price that we introduced regarding the Seder of a regular Mincha. So we said that yes, you could bring with your own vessel from your house, but it has to be something that's royal klisharis, in contrast to Saita. And then you put it into a klisharis, and you're mekatnish in the klisharis. So Shamim, the Gemara says, what we can infer from here, what's this redundancy? You put in the klisharis and you mekadish in the klisharis, you sanctify it. Then obviously klisharis in mekadish elamadas. Then obviously the holy vessels in the Beis HaMikdash will only sanctify something that you're putting inside of it, only if you do it intentionally. In other words, whoever puts it there has to put it in there for that purpose of that it should become sanctified. Now Rashi just addresses a point and wonders, what is this that you have to sanctify the mincha? But it's already been sanctified when you said orally that you want this to be the mincha that you're bringing in the Beis HaMikdash. So that Rashi explains that Kedusha's peh, meaning verbalizing an oral sanctification, has only a monetary sanctity. And since it doesn't have a physical sanctity, it will, let's say, not become invalidated if a Tful Yom touches it, or if it stays overnight, or if it becomes Tameh, you could still redeem it. In contrast to when it becomes sanctified in the vessel, he gets a physical sanctity. Then it becomes invalid if a Tful Yom touches it, meaning someone that immersed that day from his Tumah and is going to become Tarah that night. Or if it stays overnight, it becomes invalid. And more, if it becomes Tameh, you can't redeem it. So there is an element of creating a Kedusha Sakuf. And that seemingly, from the redundancy, it sounds like that you have to be Mekadosh and Meklisha. You have to actively have intention for it to become sanctified. So that the Gemara rejects that inference. Because Ema, you could say that what the Braisa is saying is, you put it into the klisharis, Likacha b'kli sharis, what that means to say is, so that it could become sanctified in the kli sharis. In other words, the Torah requires you to put into kli sharis so that the vessel is sanctified, even if you're not intending it to it. In other words, when it repeats likacha b'kli sharis, it's not saying that's what you should do. It means to say, put it in so that it could become kaddish, because that's obviously the goal, and that is how it becomes, by putting it, just that itself will already make it kaddish. Now the Braisa said, so once you brought it into the Beis HaMikdash and into the Azara, and you put it into Kli Sharis, so then Menoshin Elah Shamne Olavay Nasa. Then over there you put on its oil and its frankincense. Shneim, like it says the pasuk in Vayikra, VeYitzik Elah Shemen, you pour on it oil, VaNasna Elah, and that the Zar, meaning even the non-kohen, pours on it the Levoin of the frankincense, and you don't need a kohen for that part, because actually, as we see in the pasuk, in the sequence, it says VeYitzik Elah Shemen, that you pour on it the oil and the frankincense, and only then later does it say VeAviel Bnei Aaron, do you bring it to the Bnei Aaron, which is as the order of the Braisa says. Then the next thing is V'moylicha Etzel Kayin, that you bring it to the Kayin. Tichsev, like it says in the pasuk, only after that VeAviel Bnei Aaron VeGomer, that you bring it to the sons of Aaron. Then, as the Braisa says, V'Kayin Malicha Etzel Mizbeach, the Kayin then brings the mincha to the Mizbeach. Tichsev, like it says in the pasuk over there in Vayikra, VeGisha, and the Girsa is El HaMizbeach, that he brings it near to the Mizbeach. Now, moreover, the Braisa says, Magisha Bekeren Duremis Maravis, that you bring it to the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, which is Keneged Chudish Alkeren, which is opposite the point of the corner, Bedaya, and that's enough. So the Gemara asks Manolan, where do we know this from, that that's where the Kohen has to bring the Mincha to? Because it says in the Pasuk in Beyikra, it says, Bezois Teres HaMincha, this is the law of the Mincha, which sounds like it's talking about all flower offerings. Hakrev Eisa b'nei Aharon, that the sons of Aaron should bring it near, which is this halacha of Hagasha, of bringing it to the Mizbeach, lefnei Hashem, it says before Hashem, el p'nei HaMizbeach, to the face, which is the southern part, which is how you get up to the Mizbeach, which is where the ramp is, to the face of the Mizbeach. So the time learned the Braisa, that actually these two terms seemingly could be contradictory. Because when it says lefnei Hashem, in front of Hashem, Yochel b'mariv, you would think that you could bring it to the western wall of the Mizbeach, which that's lefnei Hashem, that's in front of the Heichel, which is where the Aron is, which is what we would call in front of Hashem. Now the reason is because when one comes into the Hazar, into the Beis HaMikdash, it's all going from east to west. The Heichel is in Mairiv. Now the Mizbeach is in the Chatzar, is in the courtyard, is 32 amos in its width, which is in the middle of the Zara. Now, so too the Heichel, which is the sanctuary that we're facing towards, is also in the middle of the Zara, which actually they correlate opposite one to the other, where you have the 32 amos of the Heichel, which includes its walls, meaning you have the inside area of the Heichel is 20 amos, and the wall, the thickness of the wall on the north side is 6 amos, and the thickness of the wall on the south side is 6 amos. So it comes out that the western wall of the Mizbeach is actually all of Nei Hashem, because there's nothing that's between the wall of the Mizbeach and the wall of the Heichel, where, as Rashi explains, although the Ulam, the antechamber, which is before the Heichel, but that's open, and the width of it is 20 amos, which is like the width of the Heichel. So there you have directly facing the wall, meaning the Mizbeach has a wall because one it has a height, so that is Lefnei Hashem. So if there's a kohen on the floor by the Azara, if it says just the words Lefnei Hashem in front of Hashem, so Yochel B'Mayr says the Brice, you would think that, okay, you bring it by the western wall of the Mizbeach. Tamaloim El Pnei Mizbeach, that's why the Pasuk teaches. No, it has to be to the face of the Mizbeach, which means the southern side of the Mizbeach. Now, El Pnei Mizbeach, if it said only to the face of the Mizbeach, you would think you bring it to the southern wall of the Mizbeach. Temple of Lefnei Hashem. Says what the Pasuk teaches, no, it has to be front of Hashem, which is on the Ma'ariv. So how do you do that? It can't be both on the western wall of the Mizbeach and the southern wall. So on that, the Braisa says, HaKeitzad is Magisha Bekeren Duremis Maravis. No, you bring it to the corner of the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, Keneged Chud Shekeren, opposite exactly the corner of the corner, which is that as much as you can get it to the western side, Vidaya, and that's enough. Now, again, that's as long as you have some of the southern part of Mizbeach, because you need El Pnei Mizbeach. Now, the reason being is because if you wouldn't be exactly by the corner, you wouldn't have any Lefnei Hashem. The reason being, as we just described, because the corners of the Heichel, they end exactly by where the corner of the Mizbeach is. So if you're going to be any more by the south, if you're not exactly by the corner, so you'll get the south, you'll get Panei Mizbeach, but you won't get Lefnei Hashem because you're already too far. And again, if you're only Lefnei Hashem, you're not going to get Panei Mizbeach, so you have to be exactly by the corner so that you'll be able to fulfill both components of the Pasuk. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Lazaim, he says, he expounds the Pasuk in a different way. And he expounds that it's that since it says Lefnei Hashem, and it says Al Panei Mizbeach, so you would think you could bring it to whichever one you want to. You would think, okay, so either one. You could either bring it to the western part of the corner, or to the southern part of the corner. Now, Amart, so you would say, meaning what you should answer me is, no. Wherever you find two psukim, that echad mekayim atzma yomekayim debechaveri, that one pasuk could maintain what the pasuk is saying over here and what it says somewhere else. The echad, but the other reference, is mekayim atzma umavatal debechaveri, only could be maintained by itself, but will then be nullifying what a pasuk says somewhere else. So then the halacha is, manichim eshem mekayim atzma umavatal debechaveri, we leave the reference that could only maintain its own inference, but will nullify what the pasuk says somewhere else, and that we consider and we hold the reference that will maintain itself and maintain and be able to validate where it says something else. And that's because of the concept, what's called Efshel Kaimash name. Since you could fulfill both of those psukim, so therefore you don't have any more, as we would have thought, the option of, okay, whichever one you want to do. One says Lefnei Hashem, one says El Panei Mizbeach. No, you would take one of those two references that actually could include the other one. And therefore, says Rebbe Lazar, k'shato'im lefnei Hashem b'mayrev, if you would only use the reference of, let's say, okay, I'll do it in front of Hashem, which is the western side of the Mizbeach, then mitaltel p'nei ha-mizbeach b'dorm, then you would be nullifying and losing the element that it says in the Pasuk of to the face of the Mizbeach, which is on the south. But k'shato'im el p'nei ha-mizbeach b'dorm, but if you go with, which the Pasuk says it has to be on the face of the Mizbeach, meaning on the south, Kayam Tlav Ne'ashem Amayr, you actually will also be fulfilling the other element said in the Pasuk of having it in front of Hashem on the west. Now, how do you have that? So on that, says Rebbe Lazar, Magisha Ledroy Mishal Karen, what you do is you bring it to the southern part of the corner, and as Rashi explains, Rebbe Lazar's opinion is that you don't need it by the corner the way the Tanakhama described it. No, by having it just right there by the southern corner, not on an angle, you're by the south, just being right there, right next to that corner, and on having El Panei, you'll also be fulfilling Lefnei Hashem. So ask the Gemara of Heichen Kayamta, how are you fulfilling? But we just explained before that the second you come out of the exact diagonal of that corner, you're missing Lefnei Hashem, because as we said, the ends of the Mizbeach ends where the Heichel is. So if you're past that, then you're already lost Lefnei Hashem. So Amar Vashi explains, no, that Kesava Haytana, Rebbe Lazar holds, unlike the way we describe for the Tanakhama, that Kulei Mizbeach B'Tzofen Kai. The whole Mizbeach is in the northern part of the Azar of the courtyard, and that is, he doesn't hold like the Tanakhama, that the Mizbeach parallels exactly the area in the courtyard opposite the Heichel and its walls. So it comes out that the southern part of the southern wall of the Mizbeach is actually directly opposite the entryway of the Heichel. So therefore, what you do is, according to Rebbe Lazar, you bring it to El Panei Mizbeach in the south, and as long as you have it as much as possible closer, meaning it still has to be by the Keren of the south, meaning all the way as close as possible to the west, so that you fulfill both elements, meaning although you could have it by the southern wall, but not all the way to the east, as close to the west as possible, so that you fulfill both elements of El Panei. And also, you can also be having Lefnei Hashem, because the Mizbeach is actually further north, and therefore by its southern wall, you're actually directly opposite the Heichel itself. Now, actually, Rashi just points out something, that even if we would have said that the Mizbeach is just moved over a little bit from not being directly opposite the Heichel itself, just a little bit more to the north, then obviously the southern part of the Mizbeach would still be opposite the entryway of the Heichel, and we could have fulfilled both the idea of El Panei Mizbeach and being opposite the Heichel to be called Lefnei Hashem, as long as you have it as close as possible to the corner, which is towards the west. Now, so why did the Gemara then say that Rabbi Elazar holds that the entire Mizbeach is in the north? That's only because, as Rashi explains, this is a well-known three-way machlokes regarding where exactly was the Mizbeach located in Dazar. Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion that the Mizbeach, as is like the Tanakhama we described over here, which is exactly opposite the Heichal and its walls. As the Gemara says in the first paragraph of Masechet Yumin Daf Tezayin Amud Aleph, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov holds that the entire Mizbeach is actually in the south. Because he actually learns when it says the word Safaini, he learns that word as that Safaini is from the word of Panoi, that the north, that Sad Panoi, the north has to be totally empty from everything. So the Mizbeach couldn't be there, it had to be all in the south. And Rabbi Yosef clearly holds that the entire Mizbeach is in the north, as the Gemara explains in Masechet Zevachim and the New Testament Aleph. Now, therefore, Rabbi Elazar over here, where we obviously understood from his opinion that he says that the southern corner of the Mizbeach is considered in their facing opposite the Heichal. So obviously he's arguing under Behuda, which is like the Tanakhama of a Mishnah. He's obviously arguing under Blazim and Yaakov, who holds that the south, the whole Mizbeach is in the south. So obviously the southern wall of Mizbeach is not facing the entry of the Heichal. So that's what the Gemara said, that his opinion is like Rabbi Yisrael Glili, who holds that the whole Mizbeach is in the north, and they didn't want to make a fourth opinion, which, again, potentially just moving over a little bit to the north would have already made the southern wall facing Lifnei Hashem. But not to make a fourth opinion, they said it's like Rabbi Yosef Glili, the whole of the time Mizbeach is in the north. Now the Gemara continues and asks, "My Vidaye, what does this mean that we said, okay, so if you bring it to the corner, the southwestern corner of the Mizbeach, that's enough? In other words, what would we have thought that you need to do more by saying that just bringing the vessel to the corner of the Mizbeach is enough to fulfill this halach of Agasha?" So Amr Vashi says, "Itzrich, it was necessary because we would have thought to say that this halacha of Agasha, bringing near the mincha, would require that you have to actually bring the actual flour offering to the Mizbeach, and not just by bringing it in the vessel that it's in, but rather you would have to actually bend over the vessel so that the flour itself should touch the Mizbeach. Kamash Balan, that's what the Bryce is teaching, that no, it's enough just bringing it and having the vessel touch the corner, not to have to actually have the flour offering touch the Mizbeach. Now, that the Gemara asks, "Behem Hachanami, but why? Maybe say that the flour offering, the flour itself has to touch the corner of the Mizbeach." So that Amakra, that's what the Pasuk teaches, V'hikriva el HaKoyin B'goyim, it says that you, after we said, after you put into Kli Sharis, and you put on the Shem and Levayin, you bring it near and you give it to the Koyin. And then the Pasuk says, V'gisha el HaMizbeach, that he brings it near to the Mizbeach. So we make a comparison between those two services. And that is, Maha Krava Itzel Koyin Mekli, just like the bringing near to the Koyin, when you give it to him. You're giving it to him in the vessel. Afakasha Eitzel Mizbeach Bekli, so too the bringing near, which is the next process, bringing it to the Mizbeach, is also done in the utensil. It doesn't have to have the flour itself touching the Mizbeach. Then we said in the Braisa that, okay, Umesalikis Levainos L'Tzadach. After that, they move over the frankincense to one side of the flour offering. So the Gemara explains, because the next thing that is done is that the Kohen takes a fistful of the flour offering to sacrifice on the Mizbeach. We don't want that his kemitza, his fistful, should have any part of that frankincense in that fistful of the what's being sacrificed on the Mizbeach. Because ketanan, like we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachos, says, if kamatz v'ala b'yadi tzarev, let's say the kohen got the fistful of the flour offering, and in there was a pebble, oy gargar melech, or a small piece of salt, a kart levina, or a small piece of frankincense, pasul, the whole kemitz becomes invalid, because that's what's known as a kemitz chasu. You're missing some of the fistful of flour by virtue of having something else taking up that space. So it's not necessarily the frankincense, but it's because it's not going to be a full kemitz, and that's why we have to move the frankincense to one side. And then there's, as the Braisa said, the kemitz mimakam shunus rabbi shamna, that then he takes a fistful of the flour offering of where there's a lot of oil there, meaning where it's mixed well with the oil. So now the Gemara asks, Menolam, where do we know that from? Except like it says the pasuk in Yikra, it says, misalta umishamna. We find always where it says you should take from the flour and from the oil. Moreover, when it says migirsa umishamna, from the fine barley and from the oil. So it always says that you have to have that with that. So we see it has to be from the place where it really has saturated and mixed well with the oil. Then the Braisa said, so what do you do with that fistful, the kaimans? V'neis nolotech klisharis, you put into a klisharis, umekachbi klisharis, and you sanctify in the klisharis. So the Gemara asks, lamali, why do you have to then now put in the klisharis and only then bring it up to Mizbeach to sacrifice it? But ha'kaitcha chadazim, it was already sanctified one time. He brought it in his own basket to the azar, to the courtyard. Then put in kli sharis and was mekadesh it. Now you're taking a fistful. Why do you have to put in the kli sharis again? Why don't you just go up to the mizbeach and sacrifice? So the Gemara explains midi dehav adam. The same thing that applies by an animal sacrifice, where the Gemara shows there's four avoidas by the animal sacrifice, and paralleling that, we have the same thing with flower offerings. So the same thing is by the blood of the animal sacrifice, where by dam, by the blood, avagav dekadishi say sakin mitzaver behema, although the blood was already sanctified, by the knife that cut and slaughtered the neck of the animal, whereas Rashi points out the knife itself is a klisharis, as the Brisa says, Mesechtes Yumid of Yud Beis Mabeis, that all the utensils that Moshe Rabbeinu made, when he made it, his anointing it was had sanctified it. But after that, just doing avoida, which is what shechita is machan chasan, is then indoctrinates it into it being a kli sharis. So the knife, when it's cutting the neck, is touching the blood, is already sanctified the blood. And yet, hadar makdish lebe kli sharis, still we go ahead and we sanctify the blood in another kli sharis, which is what's known as kabbalah. You have to receive it in a utensil, as it says, vayosam ba'aganis, and pasuk in Shemais. So, that's why over here, by the flower offering, it's the same thing, it doesn't make a difference, where, although it was already sanctified once in the kli sharis, we then take the kaimitz and sanctify it a second time, which is essentially what like the kabbalah is, in another kli sharis. So then the Braisa said, umalakesh es lebeinosu v'noisna al gabov. So then after they do the kemitza, and they put in the kli sharis, so then they gather from the first kli sharis, the frankincense, and they put it on top of the kaimitz. Like it says in Pasuk Meyukra, it says, v'eskal halavoyna asher ala mencha, that all the frankincense that's on the flower offering, whereas Rashi points out that Pasuk is talking about the haktara of what's being burnt on the mizbeach, which is that obviously that you sacrifice the kaimitz, the fistful, together with the frankincense, and that's what the Pasuk is saying, the levoyna asher ala mencha, which is being the haktara, which is being sacrificed on the mizbeach. So that's why we know we put it on top of it and we sacrifice them together.